Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you, each and every one here this evening for our parents' evening. We want to thank you indeed for coming, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will meet with us as we're here tonight. Let's take our hymn books, and we're going to sing our first opening hymn this evening, 690. 690. If you're not familiar with our hymn book, it's found in the page 455. 690, Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. Like a little candle burning in the night, in this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. 690, and we'll stand after we receive the introduction, please. Just unite together in a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to bless us and even to be near to us tonight as the children, young people, will be taking part. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before thee with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice, O God, this night that we are found in thy house in this thy day. We thank thee for the goodness and for the mercy of God even towards us in this day, for watching over us, and for every single blessing that thou hast given even unto us. We thank thee, O God, this night that we can raise our Ebenezers, and we can thank thee and we can praise thee for all of thy blessings even upon the work amongst boys and girls throughout this year. We thank thee, Lord, for every child that thou hast brought in under the sound of thy word. We thank thee for every child in the Sunday school, for every child in the Monday night at Awana, for every child in the Tuesday night, for bringing each one of them in safety every week. And Lord, for the help that thou hast been even to the leaders and to the helpers every single time as they have sought to taught the children the word of God. And Father, we do come together tonight simply to praise thee and to thank thee, O God, even for what thou hast done for us. Thank thee especially for sending thine only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this sin-cursed world to die for our sins upon the cross. We thank thee and we praise thee this night that salvation truly is found of the Lord, and it's found in Christ and in him alone. And Father, we pray, even as we are here in this world, that our lights will shine, even as we've been singing about. Yes, the world is dark with sin. Yes, there's much sadness, there's much wickedness. But Father, we thank thee for the light of the gospel. We thank thee this night, O God, that souls can and are still being saved, young and old alike. If they but simply turn and trust in Jesus Christ, they can be washed and cleansed from all of their sin. O God, we come to thee this night and we do thank thee already for thy presence, for thy help with us today. We thank thee for the time spent this morning in thy house. We thank thee, O God, for thy word, and we pray that thou will continue to bless it and to use it. But as we are here tonight, we do pray for a very special blessing from God. We pray for help to be given to the children as they come to sing. O God, take away all nerves, all distractions, Lord. Help them as they sing, as they say their verses, as they give their reports. And Father, bless them and encourage them and use them even to speak to our hearts. And then as we come around thy word, O Father, that thou wilt speak to us through it. Lord, we acknowledge faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so tonight, O God, as thy word goes forth, we pray that it will find that resting place. It will find that settling place within the hearts of men and of women, of boys and of girls. O Lord, remember us for good. Bless us tonight as we are here. Lord, bless each one. Encourage us in thy presence. O God, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books again. 688. We'll sing together. 688, just over the page, 454. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Again, we'll stand as we sing 688. It is a joy to have with us this evening the children both of Awana, our Monday night meeting, and also the Tuesday night children's meeting. We're thankful to have them. We're thankful to have them every single week, and we're thankful to have them even tonight as they come to take part. And we're going to first of all ask the leader of our children's meeting, our brother James Bennison, just to come forward and to introduce it, and then he'll show you and explain what happens bit by bit. So thank you, children.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you, and the boys and girls as well. Some of them aren't here, some of them are at other meetings in the churches that they go to, but we're glad to see the boys and girls that have come. So just while I'm making some remarks, if the workers could just get the children up to sing the first four choruses that they're going to sing. It's just a straightforward, simple program, boys and for folks, just to hear the boys and girls what they do at Awana on the Monday night, what they do at the children's meeting on a Tuesday night. And so I trust that you'll give them encouragement. They're going to sing four choruses. You'll see the words coming up here on the screen here as well. And if you feel you want to join in and sing, you feel quite happy to do that. They're going to sing four choruses, then they're going to sit down, and then Quanjai and Lucy and Reuben and Mason are going to just come to the microphones and tell you what all they get up to. Not all of it, some of it could be bad, we'll keep those bad bits out, but they will speak to you of what they have been doing and what they have been learning about. And while that will be going on, there will be some photographs that were taken recently at the meetings will be shown, so the boys and girls will be able to look out for themselves, and you can have a look at them as well and see if you recognise any one as well. So the children are going to start off, and we're going to ask them to sing really well and do the choruses, please, and the actions for these four choruses. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. This year in Trek, Kwanja and I have been studying the disciples of the Lord Jesus.
We've explored the lives of Simon Peter, John, James and John,
Andrew and Mary. We have learnt that they are real people with real problems, just like us. We have seen how they give up all their plans for their own lives to follow the Lord Jesus. We learnt how James and John abandoned their fishing nets and followed the Lord without hesitation. They seen amazing miracles and wrote books of the Bible. We seen how the Lord channeled their fiery personalities into sincere devotion with him. We also met Mary when she was tortured by demons and seen how the Lord healed her and saved her. She faithfully followed Jesus and was the first to witness the empty tomb once he had risen from the dead. We have seen the ups and downs of each of their stories. We have seen their mistakes and how the Lord transformed them into the people he always meant for them to be. We have learned how they remained true to their faith in the Lord and how they continued to be good disciples for him even when he had gone back to heaven. They went through tough times trying to stand up for the Lord Jesus and for their belief in him. As we have reflected on the journey of the disciples, it's amazing to know the same relationship with God and hope for the future with him is still available for us today.
Each week in Awana Club, we start with prayer and then we have our game time. Most of the time, we play our games in teams, and this teaches us to be good sports and to work well together and help the younger members of our team. Our favourite game is called American Eagle, and the leaders say we'd play this all night, every night, if we could. We then have some juice and biscuits to help us recover, and we head upstairs for large group time when we start with some courses, and a leader brings the lesson, which is the most important part of the evening. This year we have been learning from the series called Evidence of Grace. For the first part of the year we were learning about the structure and sequence of the Bible, and since Christmas we have learned about the character and nature of God.
After the group time, we split into our small groups and work through our Awana handbooks. We look closer at the lesson we have learned, how we can apply it to our lives, and we can ask our leaders questions if we don't understand anything. We also learn a memory verse each week and spend time understanding what it means. Finally, we meet together again for prayer and our end of the night prize. Tomorrow night is our last night in Awana for this year, and it will be a special night as we will be spending Awana dollars in the Awana dollar store each week if we remember our Bibles, wear our uniforms, and arrive on time. We get points, and these will be converted to Awana dollars, which we can spend tomorrow night. On behalf of all the boys and girls and the leaders, thank you to everyone who prays for the Awana Club each week.
Thank you. For those that took part, we're going to get the children up again to sing, so if they could all come up to the front. We're going to sing a couple of choruses, and then our sister Lorraine is going to teach a memory verse, and this is a part you can all take part in, because she's going to teach you an easy way to remember it, so you better sit up and listen, because you could ask by the minister as you leave tonight, what were the actions that you learned? Okay. The main purpose, both in Awana and the children's meeting, is of course to teach boys and girls the Word of God, to bring to them the good news of salvation. And that is what is primary and foremost in all that we do. So listen to the words of the chorus, the two choruses as they sing, then they'll remain standing. And Lorraine will come for the memory verse. It will come up on the screen as well. And then the children will sing two more choruses just in closing, please.
First thing we do is we teach some of the truth of the memory verse to the children. Truth about ourselves and sin, truth about how to be saved, truth about the love of God for us when we are his children, how he keeps us and we can live for him. So these truths that we want to get into the children's hearts. But of course then we want to get the words into their minds as well. So we'll go over the verses a few times to try to help the words go into their little minds, and we have various things to help us do that and just make it a bit more fun for the children. And one of the ways is to do, we did for one of the verses, or for different verses, to do some hand exercises. Hand actions. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over this with you tonight. Now the verse is found in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, and we did this verse in association with the story of Joseph. And the verses, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So it's been a while, it's been a few weeks now since we've done it, and the Awana ones who aren't in the children's meeting haven't seen the actions before, but they're very easy. So what I'm going to do the actions first, and if you can all look at me so we can remember what they are. And so I'll do it first for you, and then the boys and girls are going to do it then a couple of times for everybody in the congregation. And that's for you to get your special looking eyes on, so then you can see all that's happening. And then after the children do it two times, we're going to ask the congregation to do it too, just to encourage us all right? So special eyes on, and I'll do it first of all for the children, so just to remind us, okay? So we always start with the Bible says, because we want to remember that this is God's word that we're learning and speaking about. So we say, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All right? So do you think he's can manage that now? Okay. And say in the memory verse 2, we're asking you to do loads of things at the one time. But we know you're up to it. Okay? All very smart. Are you ready? So I'll say 1, 2, and then we'll start the Bible says. Okay? And everybody watching now, okay? So after 2, 1, 2. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Well done. That was a really good warm-up. So we'll try it again now and just give it even better. Okay? After 2, 1, 2. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Well done. Right now, everybody. So we see how well you were watching. Okay. So everybody, after 2. Now, you watch all the adults and make sure they're doing it right, okay? It's your turn to be watching, everybody. Right. After 2, 1, 2. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Well done. I think everybody deserves a round of applause, doesn't it? Right.
Thank you.
Folks, I trust you enjoyed that. Give the children a round of encouragement there. And I hope it made you feel young again. Now, part of the children's meeting and, of course, the Awana is the telling of a Bible story. So at great expense, we brought our own minister tonight to complete that. And he's going to do that. Now, what we do in the children's meeting, and the children's meeting will know this, but the Awana ones have a chance here tonight. The best boy, best girl, or the two best ones, a bar of galaxy. So when I leave the pulpit, I'm giving it to two spies to look out for. The reason I'm taking them out of the pulpit is because I think they would go into the minister's pocket very, very quickly. So I'm going to do that. So when the minister comes later to speak to you, you sit up good, and by the end of the service, you could get a bar of chocolate handed to you. Thank you very much, boys and girls. You did well. Parents and folks, thank you very much for your attendance tonight.
Yes, thank you very much, boys and girls. Really, really enjoyed. He's coming to take part, and it's lovely to see so many children, and even when you think of it, not all of the children that come to our meetings are here tonight because of various reasons, but we're delighted with each and every one, and we do pray that the Lord will bless and the Lord will undertake. I'm encouraged because whoever the spies are looking at me, they're not looking that way, which means if they're looking for the best and they only can see me, I'm in with the chance tonight of getting it. But just want to say a word of thanks at this stage to all of our workers on Monday nights and Tuesday nights who faithfully give of their time, their energy, their talents every single week to come and to teach the children, those that bring them in on the bus, those that organise all of the work that goes on behind the scenes. We really appreciate all of the time and the effort that goes into it. And want to thank all of the parents as well every single week for sending your children. If we didn't have children, there'd be no children's meetings. And we are so thankful to have the opportunity each week, as you've heard tonight, of teaching the boys and girls the Word of God. And it is a blessing to have them. It's a blessing every week to have them and to see them coming, the enthusiasm you could see even there in the pictures as they take part. And they're especially going home with the Word of God, and we praise God for it. And we pray that the Lord will richly bless all that they have learned throughout the year, and that they'll not simply forget about it, but rather it will be upon their minds and upon their hearts in the days, the weeks, the months that lie ahead. Let me just welcome each and every one this evening to our meeting. Those that are visiting, a very special welcome to you. And we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us tonight as we are here. We do mention too, there is light refreshments for everyone afterwards over in the church hall. And if you're able to stay, then certainly do go across and enjoy. It is kiddie food as such. It's biscuits and juice because it's for the children, as it were, but it is for everyone. And we'd love you to stay and have that time of fellowship and the light refreshments together. Do remember then in the incoming week the meetings that are in plan for the church here and the will of the Lord. The final Awana and the final children's meetings Monday and Tuesday night. That is the final ones for the season. And can we just mention to you as they come to an end, if you can set aside, there are two very special weeks then in the month of July, in the month of August, in the month of July, the first full week of July, as the kids are finished school. We have a holiday Bible club here every single morning, Monday to Friday, and we'd love to have all of the children coming along to that. And then in the month of August, there is a sports week for children aged from 11 to 14. And if your children fall into that category, then do keep an eye. There'll be a little reminder sheet going home with the children on Monday and Tuesday night this week. And keep it somewhere that you can remember. Keep an eye on our church Facebook page as well. We'll be putting announcements up near the time of those special weeks. And we'd love to have them. And maybe you're thinking, well, what am I going to do with my children now? Well, we still have a Sunday school every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. till after 11. That goes on into the month of June. And maybe you don't go anywhere else on a Sunday and you'd want your children to come and to learn more of the Bible. And we encourage you and invite you. Do then bring them on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For our own people, we mentioned too, there is the time of Bible study and of prayer on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. And as usual, I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service and we are continuing in our prayer times to remember our upcoming gospel mission. We are having a 2-week gospel mission in the month of April, from Sunday the 14th till the 28th of the month of April, and God willing, I'll be preaching at those meetings, Sunday afternoons at 3:30 and the weeknights at 8 p.m. And we're spending these times in prayer, asking for the Lord's blessing to be upon them, and therefore do make that effort to come on Wednesday evening. Then our denomination has our Easter convention weekend, this upcoming Easter weekend. Friday night, 8 p.m. is a youth rally, and it is the focus upon the Whitfield College. Saturday night's a missionary rally at 7:30. Friday night's 8 p.m. Saturday night 7:30, and then Easter Monday evening at 7 p.m. Do remember these meetings, and if you can get along to them, then we certainly encourage you to do so. Next Lord's Day, the services all at the regular times. And now there is no Sabbath school and Bible class just for the 1 week because of the Easter time, and so do remember that. But we meet as always 11:30 and 7 p.m. Seasons of prayer at 11 and 6:30. I'll be here to preach in the morning time, and we'll be coming to the communion service afterwards, coming around the Lord's table, remembering his death until he come. Next Sunday night is another special meeting here in the church, and it is a family and friends evening. It is a testimony night, and a man by the name of the Reverend William McDermott is coming along to give his life story of how the Lord saved him, but also how the Lord kept him. As we mentioned this morning, before he became a minister, he was a member of the police, and he served in Mid-Ulster. He served in Tyrone, and during the earlier years of the Troubles, many of those that he served with were killed during those Troubles. And he'll be along to speak of how the Lord kept him alive. And we invite you and encourage you to come again next Sunday, even as next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and to hear of the Lord's goodness even in his life. Let me just at this time invite you to take your hymn books once again, please. And we are going to sing as we lift our tithes and offerings this evening, the hymn 695. 695, you'll find it in the page 456. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Now, if you didn't come prepared for offering, just let the plate pass you on by. But as we sing this hymn, we'll lift the offering this evening. Thank you. just have a word of prayer together before we come to speak to the boys and girls, indeed to everyone tonight. Let's just ask the Lord to draw very near and to speak to our hearts. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for that great truth that we've just been singing about, that Jesus does love us. We thank thee for the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as we now spend these moments together around thy word, we pray, O God, that thou wilt speak, that thou, O God, wilt move within our midst, that thou wilt press thy word home to each and to every heart. And Lord, even as we come to consider the gospel, oh, that there will be those who come to Christ tonight. They'll not simply come to a meeting, but rather they'll come and they'll experience that love of God for themselves. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, there is a bit of a rumour in this church. The rumour is, apparently, I really like chocolate. And I wasn't going to say anything, but then it was highlighted again about me and chocolate. And I don't know where that rumour started. I have a fair idea, actually. I started it myself. But I was on the phone with a man just yesterday, and it came up about chocolate. And I turned round to him and he says, you know, I believe that you love chocolate more than anything else. Chocolate and Coke, apparently my two great loves. And I thought, but surely my wife would be higher up than chocolate and Coke. I think he just about agreed that my wife came into the top three, but he didn't say which order. But I do love my wife, don't worry about that. And I do love my children. And of course I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him for what he's done for me, but I do love chocolate. And there's no better way of eating chocolate than putting it in the fridge for a day or two, letting it harden up, and then bringing it out and just having that crack of the chocolate, whether it be in your mouth itself or whether you crack it in bits first and then put it in. And I do love Coke. Coke's a very, very special thing. I don't drink as much as I used to. When I used to be down south with work, I drank far, far too much of it. I've cut away, way back. It's only a couple of cans a week now. I'm very, very good. But you know, I was thinking, because we did this, the chapter of Luke and chapter 15. In this church, we spent many weeks studying through the three parables that are found within that chapter. Because you have the parable of the lost coin, you have the parable of the lost sheep, and you have the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. And we've looked into it in detail, but I'm going to look at it again this evening. And I'm going to bring it to the children. And I'm going to use chocolate to tell the story. Because that parable was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord speaking in it, he presents it by mentioning about one man who had two sons. And the man was a very, very good father. He taught his boys right and wrong. He taught them how to behave. He taught them how to show respect. But greater than that, he taught them the things of God. He taught them about the love of God. He taught them about the grace of God. He taught them about their need for salvation. And those two boys were brought up in the home. They had everything they could have wished for. The father was a wealthy man. The father was a rich farmer. And the father did everything to care for them. But somewhere along the line, the youngest heard a whisper. And he heard these stories about the world. And he started to hear about all that the world offered. And he started thinking, you know, I am being withheld. I'm being kept away from all of these wonderful things I can experience in the world. I'm being kept. I'm being sheltered. I want to experience all of these things. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how he heard, but he did hear. And he started longing only for what the world could offer. He wanted to go and experience all of the excitement. He wanted to experience all of the attractions, all of the allurements of the world. And you know, that's the sad reality for so many today. They set their love, they set their desires on things they can see around about them. They want all of the possessions, they want to gather as much together as possible. Maybe it's the case that you see in school and your friends have all of the newest gadgets, they've all of the newest games when they come out and they're talking about it and you're thinking, I just want all of those things. I want the latest games. I want the latest gadgets. I want the latest iPads. I want all of the latest toys that there are. Now the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so often there are so many people and they only fix their affections, they only have their desires for things that they can see around about them. And yet, what about what's in heaven? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, that young boy in that home, he kept going on in his mind and he kept thinking about what he had heard. And it came to the point where he went to his father and he says to his father, Father, give me my bounty. In other words, give me what is mine. I want you to take your inheritance and I want you to split it now. And I want my part because I want to enjoy what this world has to offer. And so all he longed of his father, he didn't want his father's love. He didn't want his father's kindness. He didn't want his father's faithfulness or his father's lessons and advice and all of those cares that a parent gives to a child. He didn't want anything to do with his father. He only wanted the money. You know, there are some people that are gripped by money nowadays. There are some people today and all they want is to make as much money as possible, to have as much money as possible, and for some, yes, then to go and spend as much as money as possible. And so it comes to the point, all they're thinking about, all they're working for, all they're talking about is money. And again, what does the Bible say about money? Does it say money is the root of all evil? No, we all need money. You need money to buy your clothes. You need money to fuel your car. You need money for the food on your table. But it tells us about the love of money. It says in 1 Timothy 6 and the verse 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. And whenever you have that love and that passion within you and all it's for is money and more money, it just leads to wickedness. You know, the father, he split the inheritance between the two boys. And he gave the younger, he gave his part of the inheritance to him. He got his money. And very soon after that, it tells us that there was a breakaway. The younger son left. He packed, as it were, his bag. He took all of his money. He took all of his possessions. And he started and he went to the distant country. He left his father as far behind as possible. He went into the world. You could say he took flight. Now, some of these children, you're going to have to ask your mummy and daddy, what did they taste like? Some of them you're not going to find in the shops today. They have changed the chocolate bars that we used to love. Well, this boy took his flight. He left his family. He left his father. And just imagine, there's his dad at the door. And the young man's running as quick as he can down the road to get away from his father. And his father's standing brokenhearted. Because he's wondering, will I ever see my son again? Will I ever know what it's like to hear him talk to me? Will I ever know what it's like for him to sit at the family table and to have a meal with us again? He's just running as quick as he can to the things of the world. He became a bit of a drifter. He just kept wandering and wandering to get the greatest experience of life that he could. He went from town to town until he found a place where he was truly happy and he was there with all of his money. And do you know what money gets you? Well, firstly, it'll get you friends. Because if people know that you have money, suddenly everybody wants to be your friend. They want to be your best friend. Especially if you're very generous with your money. They'll be looking to you and they'll be like, oh, you couldn't cover that wee bill for us, could you? Or we're going for a night out. Sure, we'll sit at your table and you just pay for the whole table. I'm your friend, remember. We know it tells us when that young man went off into the world. He went off into the far country. It tells us that his life spiraled out of control. This is one of my favourite bars. I can still taste it. I really wish they'd bring it back. But his life spiraled out of control. He was into everything in the world. Everything his father and his mother had taught him. Everything that they had warned him against. It didn't matter. He just threw it all to the side. He forgot everything that they had taught him. And all he wanted was what the world could offer. And so it was party after party. It was long and late night after long and late night. And he just kept spending money all around him. He went everywhere. He did everything. His life was a complete mess. You could say he was reveling in it. You could say he was enjoying everything the world could offer. And of course, within the world, yes, there is a happiness, you could say. There is a pleasure, because for that season, everything seemed to be wonderful. He had friends, he had excitement, he had enjoyment. It didn't matter, it was costing him. It didn't matter, he had left his family. He was just loving life. But you know, eventually the money ran out. Eventually the friends disappeared. You see, always remember this, boys and girls and mums and dads. Sin will take you further than you ever want to go. And sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And sin will keep you far longer than you ever want to stay. I guarantee that young man, he didn't go and say, I want my money to go and spend every penny of it. I want that money just then to disappear, and I want my friends to disappear. No, he thought, I'm in control. I've got away from mummy and daddy. I've got away from the family home. I've got away from their control and their guidance. I can do what I want. And he thought he was in control. But sin had the control of him. And it destroyed him. It destroyed everything about him. It got to the part whenever he was in, and he went into his bag, and he looked in his little money bag, his little wallet. There wasn't one dime left. There wasn't a penny. He had spent it all. You know, it tells us in Luke 15 that then a great famine came, and it came very severely upon him. You could say there was a payday. Now, this is an American bar. It doesn't taste good. Apparently, it's something like a Snickers, which isn't good either. But he had his payday, because he spent every penny. He was nothing and he had nothing. That's what sin did to him. You know what it tells us in the book of Romans? It says the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for your sin, is death. Sin comes at a cost. And the wages of your sin is death. That young boy was heading for death, the prodigal lad. He had run out of money. He was far from his father. He knows exactly where the devil wanted him to be. You see, the devil, we sang about it tonight, or the children did, the devil is a sly old fox. The devil's the greatest liar this world has ever known. But not only is he a liar, but the Bible tells us he's a lion. And it tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what that verse tells me? It tells me he's in no hurry. He's just walking about. And whatever person the devil can destroy, he'll destroy them. Whatever individual looks the weakest, he'll go after them. And he'll destroy them. And he'll leave them with nothing. That young boy, remember, he came from a great home. He came from a wealthy home. He came from all of the standards, all of the characteristics that you long for within a family. And yet, whenever he went away from the home, whenever he went into the world, whenever he went after the things of sin, what happened? It absolutely destroyed every part of him. It took his money. It took him his health. There was a famine. He had no food. It tells us it came to the point whenever he went and he sat down and he worked for a pig farmer. And he was sitting there with the pigs and he was going to have a picnic because he was going to have the pigs' food. And he was willing, he was so hungry, the starvation that was within his body. He didn't have a penny to go and buy any food. And he was going to sit there and he was willing almost to eat the pig's food. All this disgusting stuff that the farmer would put together and put in the feeding trough, he was willing to get his head in beside them to eat because he was so hungry. But as he was there, you could say he had a timeout. because he realized something. He says, I'm here sitting with these pigs and I have nothing. But I remember my Father. And my Father is a great house. And my Father has many servants. And my Father cares for every one of them. What am I doing here? You see, as he sat there, yes, he was having a time out. You could say he was having a daydream. He was having that dream. He remembered the love of his Father. And boys and girls, mums and dads, we've sang about it, we've mentioned it already tonight. There is nothing like the love of God. It doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter the depths of sin that you've sought to get into. God's love is truly wonderful. Because he loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sin. We speak of the love of God. Of course, you could think of the little sweet's love heart. But you know what does 1 John 4 say? It says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That big word propitiation, that means the sacrifice. That means the substitute. In other words, what we deserved for our sins, Jesus Christ was willing and went to the cross to die for it. He paid the debt, the children sing. He paid the debt he did not owe. And I owe a debt I could not pay. Jesus went the whole way to the cross. He died for our sins upon that tree. You know, that young boy, as he's sitting there with the pigs, he realized the love that his Father had for him. And he decided not only, you see, this is the interesting bit of it, because yes, he thought about the love. Yes, he knew, he accepted, my Father loves me, but he didn't just keep sitting there in that pigsty. He got up and he went. You could say he put on his Snickers and he ran as quick as he could to get home. And he came to his Father. You know, the wonderful thing was the Father was standing at the gate watching for him. I believe the Father stood every single day watching for his Son to come home. And there in the distance, the Father saw this mess of a boy. He wasn't coming back the way he left. His clothes were now in tatters and stinking with working in the pigsty. His body was thin and bone because of the fact he had no food. He was completely a mess, but the Father knew him. And the Father ran to him. And the boy, he started to confess, Father, I've sinned. Do you know what the Father did? He just put his arms around him. You could say they were united. Now again, this is an old one. This was the birth to the club bars. If you get wee chocolate club bars in your biscuits and your lunches, the original was called United. The Father and the Son were united. And they were back together. Do you know when it tells us in Ephesians 2 and 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. See, it's the only way to be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that you can approach God. We looked at it this morning. Whenever Jesus died upon the cross, the veil was rent in twain. In other words, that curtain that kept away people from God, it was now separated into two parts that we now can come and approach God. But it's only through Jesus Christ. You know, that Father, he had that great joy. He took his Son in his arms and he says, go and get the best robe. Go and get the ring, put it on his finger. You could say it was a time of celebration. My Son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost now is found. You know what it tells us in Luke 15? In verse 10 it says there's joy in the presence of the angels over even one sinner that repents. Every single individual that turns from their sin, every single individual that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, the Lord will save them. But there's great joy in heaven. Another soul is saved. Another sinner has come home. Another sinner has trusted in Jesus Christ. What is salvation? Well, in a sense, you could say salvation is a marvelous creation, because it tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things pass away. All things become new. That boy that only wanted the world and wanted the money and wanted the pleasures and wanted the crazes, he never wanted for them again. He came home to his father, and for the rest of his life, he was with his father. And the joy and the peace that he had, the world could never give. You know, boys and girls, mums and dads, there are so many today, and they try everything the world offers. And they will go anywhere and they will go everywhere. And they will try every new thing that comes out. And not one of them ever satisfies. Oh yes, it might feel amazing for a little while. And then very quickly, they just return to the sadness, return to the lost, return to the bitterness of sin. But see, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man who trusteth in him. There is no greater life. There's no greater blessing than to know your sins forgiven and to know the love of God. I wonder tonight, have you experienced the love of God for yourself personally? Have you trusted? Have you turned from your sin? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Young and old alike, it's the greatest need of your heart is to be saved and to be ready to meet God. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. And do think about what we've said. Do remember even the great need of your soul tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy and for thy grace. We thank thee for thy word. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt speak on through it tonight. That thou wilt, O God, work in our midst. And Father, that thou wilt have mercy. And Lord, that each and every one will turn from their sin and will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. O Father, bless us now, we pray thee. Bless the good things that have been provided. Bless our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen.